already a very fun edition of the Show Before the Show podcast from MILB.com, the official podcast of Minor League Baseball. My name is Tyler Mon. Sam Dykstra is in New York City sitting in front of a Zoom background with a sign behind him that says, "We will guac your world." Is that a place that you have been to? And you know my skepticism about any type of Mexican food in New York City. How is the guac at that place?
I did not choose this background. Again, I'm pointing to it as if it's right behind. No, I chose it. I did not choose it for this sign. This is from back in the olden days when, I don't know if we've mentioned this on the show, but our old office used to be in Chelsea Market.
Right, right.
In the Chelsea neighborhood of New York City in Manhattan. And I used to take the F train to get there, but I would get off in essentially what's Chinatown, and I would walk into work. I'm a big, like, I need time to ease into the workday.
And you know what they say?
In pandemic times.
When you want good guac, Chinatown's your place.
Go to Chinatown. Yeah, so I honestly never paid attention to this. Like, this was like a rainy day. Everything was very vibrant. Like, I just liked the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's wearing a mask, as you can tell. Like,
it's very pre-pandemic.
Yeah, it was probably taken 2018, 2017. So I just liked the feeling of being out and about in New York City, and this is how I get my yucks on that front is Zoom backgrounds.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, now we're going to have to find the place and see what the guac is like in a world where we can get guac together. But welcome into this week's episode of the Show Before the Show. He is Sam Dykstra, and I am Tyler Mon. It's good to be back with you. We're going to talk some minor league baseball things today, as we are wont to do on this year's show about minor league baseball. We have a really fun interview coming up with Sean Aronson, who is the radio voice of the newly affiliated St. Paul Saints of AAA East, the new AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Sean will join us coming up here in just a little bit. We actually just hung up maybe 5 minutes ago with Sean and talked with him about 20 minutes after the interview ended, which I think the interview was about a half hour, and that was fantastic. And that's why we love talking to broadcasters, because we're never, especially Sam having to deal with a broadcaster and me every week, we're never at a lack of conversation when we get broadcasters on the show. So we'll hear him call out who the St. Paul Saints rival is going to be. From his estimation, and also a bold prediction about the 2021 major league season from Sean coming up here in just a little bit. But wherever you found us, thanks for hanging out with us on this week's episode of the show. You can get in touch, podcast@MILB.com. You can also find us on the tweets. Sam is at Sam Dykstra, MILB on Twitter. I am at Tyler Mon. And give us a rating and a review and a subscription on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or wherever else you find us. And with that, let's kick this thing off and get started on this week's episode of the Show Before the Show. First things first, spring training has opened across the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League. We know that top prospects in many cases are there already. We also know that prospects who are slated for just single A and double A seasons, low A, high A, and double A, will be moved back a delayed start to those seasons to allow for social distancing and all the other COVID health and safety protocols to be implemented in 2021. But as we get this Cactus League and Grapefruit League season closer and closer, some camps worth following for prospects here in 2021 per the view of Sam Dykstra. Sam, what do you got for us? Who are we keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so these are, I wrote on Toolshed 10, I'll share some of them here, but there are obviously going to be some that you may be yelling about at home that might be covered in this story. Obviously, all 30 camps have non-roster invitees. We've talked about those in the past. So you're going to be able to find a prospect or two in every camp that is interesting in some fashion. But a couple of ones that stand out to me, we'll start with the Chicago White Sox. This is kind of like the last gasp of the White Sox farm system in a way. They have the big four, as I call them, between Michael Kopech, Nick Madrigal, Garrett Crochet, and Andrew Vaughn. There's two that I'm watching in particular this spring, although you could say for all four. Madrigal's coming back from, I think, shoulder surgery. He should be good to go. He should be their opening day second baseman. Michael Kopech opted out in 2020, had Tommy John surgery before that. Is he going to figure into the rotation? We'll see. Want to check in on his health and his ability. But I'm mostly focusing on Andrew Vaughn, who has a real chance to win the DH spot for the White Sox. The White Sox have an opening there. Andrew Vaughn typically plays first base. It sounds like he played a little bit of the outfield and third base at the alt site last year, just because they were trying to get some versatility out of him. But he's mostly going to play first base. Jose Abreu is there, the reigning AL MVP. Not a lot of room for Andrew Vaughn, but they do have an opening at DH. And Vaughn would fit that hole quite well. His hit tool is plus to plus plus. The power might be just as good for him. He could help them on opening day, no doubt about that. And the White Sox chasing the Minnesota Twins in the AL Central. We don't know what Cleveland is going to be after the Francisco Lindor trade. They're going to need as much talent as they can get. They've made some strong moves this offseason. Adding Andrew Vaughn, I think, would be a big step. Tony La Russa kind of teased us the other day, saying that Andrew Vaughn is tied for first in the DH race, but he's tied with many other people, which does not help us whatsoever. So we'll be keeping a close eye on Andrew Vaughn, how he's able to do in the Cactus League and kind of force the issue there. And also Garrett Crochet, sounds like they're actually really considering sending him back to the majors after he debuted last year straight from the draft. No minor league experience for Garrett Crochet. The heater is really tough to face for him. He's kind of your fastball slider type, but the velocity is absolutely major league ready. I would still like to see him become a starting pitcher, but hey, if they think the gas is going to work in a relief role right now, and maybe you expand him as the season goes along and he moves into the rotation in June or July or August or something like that, that's fine. But again, keeping a close eye on how they handle things with him this spring. Some of the other ones real quick that I'll be keeping an eye on for sure. The Seattle Mariners, it has been a week for the Seattle Mariners. Maybe we should have led the show with that, but it was a couple days ago. The news is a little bit stale. Tyler, I know you and I kind of went back and forth on Twitter about this a little bit. Team president Kevin Mather came out with comments speaking to a Rotary Club, of all places, about several of the club's top prospects. In the case of Jared Kelnick, saying that they offered him a 6-year extension. And if he turned it down, that they were probably going to keep him in the minors for a little bit longer. Same for Logan Gilbert, who Logan Gilbert had been mentioned as a legit opening day rotation spot member. We'll see where things stand on that. And then oddly threw in there that Julio Rodriguez's English isn't very good. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know that's not true. We had Julio Rodriguez on the show last summer.
For a 25-minute interview, by the way.
Which was fantastic. Like, he roasted us.
Fantastic. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was very engaging. Everything about that conversation, I would never have thought, oh, a high-level major league executive will just throw this kid under the bus and say his English is, quote, not tremendous.
It was tremendously disappointing for somebody who is as fun for the game as Julio Rodriguez is, and who has a YouTube show on the Seattle Mariners page. Like, yep. they have been trying to promote him because he is fun. He knows who he is. There's a great story that came out today that Ichiro Suzuki is in camp as kind of an instructor for the Mariners and was throwing BP and threw a couple pitches away from Julio Rodriguez, and Julio Rodriguez yelled back at him, "What, are you afraid of me?" And it's just like, I love that story so much. It tells you so much of who J-Rod is and how much fun he has with the game.
It's also between Jared Kelenic, Julio Rodriguez, some of the other guys in that organization. It's very much a perfect encapsulation. Marco Gonzalez was the other one who really stood out, of how you cannot be a boomer who battles millennials or Gen Z through social media. Because those guys had more dunks than Jordan in the contest, and it was pretty impressive. I was into all of them. Marco Gonzalez's Twitter bio now says, quote, "very boring," unquote, because that's how he was described. Julio Rodriguez was fantastic through all of it. Those guys handled themselves very well.
And one thing I really appreciated too is that this is very clearly between them and the organization. Everybody in this group has tweeted out, like, "Hey, Mariners fans, I appreciate you guys a lot. This is not between me and you."
Yep.
Because Mariners fans, to their credit, have reached out to these players and be like, "Hey, listen, we want you here. We want you up as quick as we can. We want you ready and building the next contender in Seattle." So we should mention, I don't think we've said this yet, Mather has resigned. Now,
right.
That's one domino to fall. He says he didn't speak for the organization. He was the team president. Of course, he was speaking for the organization. So,
and has been with the organization for 25 years, I think.
Right. So there's going to be a lot of fallout from his comments, even with him gone. How they handle Kelnick now is going to be fascinating. How Julio Rodriguez is going to be able to channel those feelings into this spring is going to be really interesting. Just many storylines to follow here, but you know, let's get one thing straight. This is a very talented group of prospects. All guys who are knocking on the door, all guys we got very positive reports on based on their time in Tacoma. J-Rod suffered an injury that kept him out for most of the time, but he is a top six prospect in baseball for a reason. So keep a close eye on the Mariners and how they respond to everything going on there. And then, of course, Tampa Bay Rays, Wander Franco is in Major League camp. I didn't mention this in the story. I wish I had, so I'll correct that now. He was playing Dominican winter ball. He was somebody who we were keeping an eye on almost every night and seemed to be going okay, but suffered a biceps injury. The Ray, he seemed like he wanted to keep playing. The Rays shut him down, very understandably. Don't want him getting hurt just playing, you know, winter league ball, which is not affiliated with the Rays in any way. So he's back this spring, seems to be a full go. Randy Arozarena, still technically a prospect, so we still got to keep our eyes on him, how he can follow that crazy, crazy postseason run. And then so many other pieces in that Rays system, how are they going to fit? Vidal Brujan's knocking on the door of the majors, but he's got to find a spot with Franco and Willy Adames at shortstop and Brandon Lau at second base. Maybe he sees some center field. We'll see how that goes. But check out the story for more of these farm systems. We'll be keeping an eye on, but those are three of the big ones for sure.
And our next topic, not nearly as fun of a conversation. Unfortunately, injury news already across the game of baseball among some top prospects. The news today, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 24th. The top prospect in the Minnesota Twins organization, Royce Lewis, the shortstop, he'll miss all of 2021 due to a full tear in his right ACL. He was suffering from some soreness on intake testing, underwent the exam, and it was discovered that the ACL was fully torn. So Royce Lewis, who is still just 21 years old, he'll miss the entirety of this season. In the New York Yankees organization, Clark Schmidt will be shut down for a month with an elbow issue. And this is obviously the time of year where some of these stories pop up, but it never makes them any less of a bummer.
Yeah, I tweeted this the other day, but baseball returning means the return of baseball injuries. And Royce Lewis's wasn't quite that. Clark Schmidt's definitely was. But it is just such a bummer that after so long of talking about, like, we can't wait to see these guys again. And Clark Schmidt, we did a little bit with the Yankees last year, but Royce Lewis, we didn't. He was at St. Paul at the alternate site. Really somebody who could have used a full 2020 after he had a down 2019, followed by winning the MVP award in the Arizona Fall League, was really interested to see how he was going to do. The reports were fairly strong for him coming out of the alt site. But again, we were going to need to see him this year and see how the hit tool looked and whether he had put 2019 in the full rearview mirror. Now we're going to get to a point where we're going to still be talking about him as a prospect in 2022. And not only that, it's going to be somebody who hasn't played an affiliated game in 2 years. What is he going to be after that? Now guys can overcome injuries. Kyle Lewis just won the AL Rookie of the Year. He had some major knee injuries earlier in his career, overcame those and seemed okay. With Lewis, a big draw for him is the athleticism. It is the plus to plus plus speed tool. So what is that going to be like coming off major reconstructive surgery? We won't know until next year. That's a major bummer for Clark Schmidt. He's shut down for a month. That's basically going to take him out of the running completely for a Yankees spot, either in the rotation or in the bullpen. That's a real downer. Doesn't sound like it's any more worrisome than that. Not like, you know, UCL tear is going to pop up or anything. It sounds like structurally it's okay. It's just worrisome right now, and they don't want to push him too much. He even admitted he might have been going too hard too early. It's all part of the learning process. As a young pitcher, you have to know to ease into the season. There is some pressure on being a young pitcher in big league camp like that, especially one who got a small taste of the majors, and you want to expand that out and show you're ready to go early. But easing in is the best way and to avoid these injuries. And that's something Clark Schmidt learned now, and I'm sure it's something he'll take into spring training's future for sure.
And for our opening segment today, that will wrap this up. We've got more fun topics of Twins conversation coming up next. The Royce Lewis news is a big bummer, but a piece of exciting news in the Minnesota Twins system is the addition of the St. Paul Saints to the minor league mix. For the Twins as their AAA affiliate in 2021 and beyond. And really excited to talk with Sean Aronson, the radio voice, the director of broadcasting and media relations for the St. Paul Saints, who joins the show coming up next.
Mm-hmm. This past year has shown us that without your health, you have nothing. If you're not well, you can't work, look after yourself, or take care of your family. You can't enjoy the life you've worked so hard to build. That's why you need to prioritize taking care of your long-term health today, before it goes from good to bad to worse. So invest in your long-term health with Forward. Forward is intelligent medicine with a personal touch. Their doctors are dedicated to catching top killers like cancer and heart disease early before it's too late. And catching them early could save you tens of thousands of dollars in the long run. Everyone's health history is different, which is why Forward doctors personalize a health plan with you, based on your genetics, lifestyle, and biometrics to achieve long-term results and ensure nothing gets missed. It's time to invest in a doctor that's invested in you. Go to GoForward.com today to protect your future health. That's GoForward.com. GoForward.com.
New franchises joining the minor league baseball landscape in 2021, and one that I think is arguably the team that people are most excited about is where we find our guest for this latest edition of the Show Before the Show podcast, the director of broadcasting and media relations for the St. Paul Saints, the longtime kind of independent ball legends who joins the show today, Sean Aronson. Sean, what's going on, man? It's good to talk to you.
Not much. You said longtime legend, and I heard that for me instead of the St. Paul Saints.
Longtime legend
Sean Aronson. That's what I'm going to start calling myself from now
on. That's your new title. We were talking about titles. Now you can just be strike out director of broadcasting. Longtime legend Sean Aronson. Nice.
There you go.
Well, welcome, man. This has been, I would imagine, an insane last 6 months, 8 months, however long the conversation's been going on. We are now at the doorstep of the first affiliated season for the St. Paul Saints. For those who are not familiar, the Saints, longtime independent franchise, 20 plus years in existence now, a couple different leagues, and have always been kind of the team that's been, I think, most on the radar of the fans of minor league baseball who don't necessarily know a ton about the indie leagues. They know the St. Paul Saints. This year, with the restructuring, the Saints are now the AAA affiliate of the crosstown Minnesota Twins, essentially, and a partnership that just makes all the sense in the world, it seems like, for those of us outsiders. If you could encapsulate what this has been like since you first started hearing, oh, there's a possibility this is really going to happen, what has this last 6, 8 month, however long stretch, been like for you?
It's been crazy, right? Everybody has wanted to know since, J.J. Cooper came out with the article, October of 2019,
right?
Mentioning the St. Paul Saints as potential for, you know, minor league affiliation. And to be perfectly honest with you guys, and this is the truth, like, we were never approached at that time. We didn't say, hey, guys, look at us. Like, this came out of nowhere. And I remember the flood of phone calls I got in October of 2019 from our local media. Is this true? Are you guys going to become an affiliate? It was unbelievable. And then it just went through the ebbs and flows, right? Like, every time a new article came out and mentioned us, people thought it was going to happen. And so the media would jump all over it again and just kind of went back and forth. And then I would probably say, I think the announcement was the first week of December. I think the final 30 days of that it was unlike anything I've been a part of in my 21 years in this business, because everybody wanted the scoop. Everybody wanted it. And you know, I've been here for 14 years. Nobody cared about any scoop from the St. Paul Saints before that. Nobody was beating down my door wanting to know these things, trying to sidle up to me and you know, hey, here's a few hundred dollars. Let me know. I'm kidding. No one bribed me with any money, but seriously, that's the way it was. And then someone leaked it. I will say it was not us that leaked it. And Lavelle Neal of the Star Tribune was the one that had it before everybody. I think a week before it was actually official. And then it became official, and it was great. I mean, you're right. It makes all the sense in the world. I will say this. I think I either have to quit or be fired, because I've been asked for 14 years when the Twins and the Saints would partner up. And I said, I will be long gone by the time it ever happens. So I think I now have to step aside, because it has happened. And I think my time with the Saints is officially done.
Well, now you have a new title to move on with. Long
That's right.
Got that problem solved.
That's right.
Well, you kind of got into the public perception of this is when the public found out, but internally as a front office, when did it feel real to you guys? This is really going to happen.
I would say it picked up steam when the Twins utilized CHS Field, our ballpark, for their alternate site. So whatever that was, July, I think it was, late June, that's when I thought, wow, this has a lot more legs than I thought. They're utilizing this ballpark. They've got a chance to check it out. They can see how it works, not just the field of play, but everything behind the scenes and all that. And then probably, I don't know, towards the end of the Major League Baseball season is when I started to hear internally, again, it wasn't really public, that the talks were moving pretty fast. But it wasn't until about early November that I knew that this was pretty much a done deal. Now, again, I say that, but everybody has to remember Major League Baseball needed to sign off on this. So regardless of the fact that the Saints and the Twins were like, hey, we've got a deal in place, Major League Baseball needed to sign off on this. And you guys know as well as anyone, Major League Baseball is very unpredictable. So it was not, I didn't feel comfortable until the Twins said, hey, we can set a press conference now. That's when I was like, all right, well, I guess it's done, because we're not going to have a press conference if it's not officially done.
And operationally, like now you guys are getting ready for a season as an mm-hmm. affiliate. Now you have an official partner with the Twins, somebody, again, you worked with at the alt site. There's some relationship there already. But just how different right now is preparing for a season? Let's compare like now to 2019. 2020 was its own thing. I know you guys actually played, but preparing for a regular season, like how are things just so different for you guys right now?
To be honest, it's not different at all, right? I mean, a baseball season is a baseball season, whether you're independent or affiliate. I was fortunate 03 to 06 to have been the broadcaster, media relations director for the Fort Myers Miracle. The Twins high A affiliate at the time. Now they're low A affiliate. So I've gone through this before. Our general manager prior to me going to Fort Myers was the GM in Fort Myers. So I think he and I are the only ones that have been a part of affiliated ball, but to be very honest, there's no difference, right? Other than our season now starts in April in Minnesota. So, you know, hold on to your hats for that one, because it's not going to be warm, I promise you. But outside of that, there is no difference. You put together a promotion schedule. You put together a program. You sell tickets. You do all the things that you would normally do. It really is no difference, except we've got six less weeks than we usually did to get ready for a season. You know, again, our season starts April 6th, and it would usually start mid-May. I think the American Association this year starts like May 18th or something. So it's 6 weeks earlier, and that's the only difference. And for this year specifically, right, the announcement wasn't until December. So we actually had even less time. Normally you'd know your season ends in September. You can start focusing on the next season the day after. Well, we couldn't do that until December. So our window was just much shorter this year. And there's a lot of other things that you have to take care of, the licensing agreements and, new website. And you've got to get on, MLB's stat site and learn all that sort of stuff. So there is a learning curve that we're all going through right
fun.
Now.
Enjoy that learning process. It's fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, and I've, I'm knee deep in learning this as well. I'm not going to be the official scorer, but I wanted to learn how the system worked in case my guys had some trouble, between you, me and the lamppost. I already had access to the stat site of Major League Baseball, because I've had plenty of interns that
our
are
stars.
Out there. Yes, that's right. I know. I cracked in there.
Cracked into the mainframe, like a 90s right. cyber comedy.
That's right. There's really not much of a difference. We're ready to go. At this point, it's just a matter of finalizing a promotion schedule, because again, that's what we're known for. That's what minor league baseball is all about.
Well, and I think that is the perfect segue to what I wanted to ask you about, which is so many people know about the Saints and they know about Bill Murray and they know about the Vet connections. They know about, I think in recent years, a lot of people know about the ballpark too. Yep. I'm pretty good friends with another Saints legend, Todd Van Steensel, who played for you guys for a couple of seasons and used to just talk about how it didn't feel like indie ball at all, because you know, the knock on indie ball, of course, is the facilities are a little bit lower tier and promotions. And, you know, it's just a different form of baseball, not to say it's better or worse, but it's different, especially for guys who are just out of affiliated ball. But on the Saints side, it always seemed like that's that island out there that if you're going to be playing an indie ball, everybody wants to be on that island. When you are talking about the Saints to people who don't necessarily know about them, what is it that makes the St. Paul Saints who they are as a franchise? And what are our people who love minor league baseball, you know, Twins fans who've been going to AAA games in Rochester or wherever else, what are they going to fall in love with the Saints?
Well, look, for the first time ever, we're going to have a cross-section of fans, right? You're going to get the diehard baseball fan that probably never checked us out because they want to see the Twins of tomorrow. Unfortunately, as we're talking today, a potential Saints player, Royce Lewis, right, done for the season. So that's unfortunate. But there, I think there's going to be plenty of top 10, top 20 prospects that are playing for the Saints this year. That's first and foremost. But the promotion side of things, look, the Saints did it first before anybody else. Like, they put promotions for minor league baseball on the map back in 1993, and they took it to another level. And look, there are plenty, and I mean plenty, of minor league baseball teams across the country that do a darn good job with their promotions. And I watch from afar and I see what they do. But when you're first, all eyes are on you, right? You know, the Teslas of the world, right? There are going to be plenty of companies that are going to do electric vehicles, you know, down the road. But Tesla was first, and so everyone's going to always watch them. And I think that's what it's like for the St. Paul Saints. So I think that we are afforded a lot more rope to be irreverent and humorous. We can get away with a few more things that maybe some other clubs cannot because they don't have the St. Paul Saints name in front of them. But with that said, it is hard, and I mean very hard, when you're the bar. And maybe this sounds very egotistical of me, but so many people look to the Saints and say, well, what are your promotions going to be like this year? And we have to top ourselves. That's hard to do. That is difficult. Like, I likened this the other day when I was talking to someone to Saturday Night Live, right? They've been around for, what, 40 years, and they are the gold standard. But they're not funny every year, right? They go through ebbs and flows, and I think that that's how it is for us. Some years we hit, you know, perfectly, and we've got three or four promotions that absolutely get national attention or humorous. And there are other years that we just were happy if we can get one, and sometimes you don't get any. Does that mean that we've changed or we're different? No, it just means you go through the ebbs and flows of how humorous you are, and that's really what it is.
I think that's a perfect analogy too, the SNL analogy. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but it really is. It's interesting because you guys coming over, and I know Benjamin Hill and his story, yep, about the Saints coming over kind of touched on this as a theme, that there's almost a streak in there of like, well, they're the renegades, they're the outlaws, and now they're coming in under the mainstream tent. What is the feeling? I mean, obviously this is so exciting for you guys as a franchise, as a front office and all that. Has there been anything in the Saints community of like, well, now what's it going to be like? I mean, now it's part of the Major League Baseball umbrella, and it's not sort of that renegade atmosphere. Has there been any of that reaction to the news?
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a shirt that says we will not change, because that's the biggest thing. And again, part of it is most people in the Twin Cities have never been to another minor league ballpark before, so they don't realize this goes on everywhere. And again, I just think that we do it a little bit better than everybody else, or that we were the first. And so again, we just get more notoriety. We won't change. Like, I'm going to scream this from the highest mountaintop in Minnesota, which is not very high. Like, we don't have mountains here, but I'm going to scream it from wherever I can to let people know that we're not going to change. But it's also up to us to prove to people, right, when they come to the ballpark on April 6th, that we haven't changed, that things are not different. And so we just got to keep telling people that until they believe us and until we prove that. But we won't. And Mike Vick has said it to us internally. I don't think this is public, because I'll just say it on your show for the very first time.
Nobody's listening. It's fine.
He wants us to get in trouble, right? He wants us to go so far outside that, like, Major League Baseball is like, why do we let these bozos in? You know, what's going on here? And I think that's the mentality that we have, is like, we want to push that envelope. And we want to prove to people that we haven't changed. Look, I'm just going to say this. Mike Vick and Marv Goldklang and Bill Murray own other minor league affiliated teams, right? They own the Charleston River Dogs. They own the Hudson Valley Renegades. When I was in Fort Myers 1,000 years ago, they owned the Fort Myers Miracle. We did promotions poking fun at everything, including Major League Baseball. When I was in Fort Myers, it was one of the years was when Sammy Sosa was caught with a cork bat. We did a cork bat giveaway where we gave away 505 mini cork bats, because that's how many home runs he had at the time, where we put wine corks on the top of mini bats and gave them away. That was poking fun at Major League Baseball, right? So teams have done these things before. Yeah, it's not definitely. Like, and if you think, look, We were invited to this party. We didn't ask to be a part of this party. You invited us. You knew what you're getting yourself into. If you think we're going to hold back, no chance, no chance. Because the front office that comes up with these ideas and Mike Vec and all these people, we are still the front office. We are still the ones that come up with these ideas. It's not like the Twins are coming in saying, hey, we're going to put our stamp on these promotions. That's not the case at all.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into another quote that stood out to me from Ben's piece, which was, the Saints were kind of, they were saying, we're not going to lose our independent affiliation unless everything is right. Now, the restructure is a big opportunity for that, for that to be right, obviously. But what else about this situation, other than just the Twins being 11 miles away, what was right about this time to make this happen and make this?
To be honest, I think it's the only way that it got done, right? Like, we weren't going to become the affiliate of the Tigers or the Royals or, you know, any other team in the Midwest. That just wasn't going to happen. There was one way this happened. And that was if we were the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, that or whatever, an affiliate of the Twins. I don't want to say just AAA, but an affiliate of the Twins. And I just think it became the right time because I think I honestly believe this. I think baseball is ready for this. Major League Baseball is ready for this. Minor League Baseball as a whole has already done a great job, but we've reached a point in time, and Mike Vec has said this, where things are just so serious. We're going through an awful thing right now in this world with a pandemic. Like, we need levity in our lives. And our general manager, our executive vice president, general manager, Derek Scherer, said it perfectly. I thought he said this perfectly during the press conference. He said, everybody wants to say that it's the St. Paul Saints going over towards the quote unquote dark side to Major League Baseball. But let's give the Twins a lot of credit. Maybe they're moving closer to the anti-establishment than we are to the establishment, right? It doesn't have to be that we're going that way and we're quote unquote selling out or whatever. It can be that the Twins have recognized what the Saints have done. They've gotten a front row seat since 1993, right? They've seen exactly what we've done. And if you had asked anybody in 93, 94, 95, if this was ever going to happen, no chance, zero chance. Like, the Twins and the Saints did not get along for a number of years. But as, the Terry Ryans of the world, the Billy Smiths of the world got into that organization and they started working with us in Fort Myers. And then Derek came over here from Fort Myers to St. Paul. Me coming here to St. Paul had nothing to do with this, I promise you. But you got to really know those, people over there, and they got to know us, that this wound up happening because there is legitimate mutual respect on both sides. If there wasn't, this was not going to happen. And now look, we're in a honeymoon period right now, right? This is great. Everybody's happy. And, we haven't played a game yet. We haven't done anything to besmirch anybody's name. There are going to be bumps in the road, right? You cannot have a relationship like this without, the Twins, like, just putting their hand over their head and shaking their head and being like, oh, what's going on? But again, everybody knew what they were getting themselves into. And I think that the Twins looked at it as, this is beneficial to us because they're 10.6 miles away. Guys can live here and we can bounce them back from AAA in the major leagues. They don't have to take the flight from Rochester or any other place. They can live in the Twin Cities. But you got to give to get, right? So they got that. And in return, they got to kind of give the fact that their AAA ball club is going to try and make headlines with some crazy stuff.
Yeah, and speaking of that crazy stuff and going back to what you said before about maybe being the bozos, and I mean that warmly as I can be.
Yeah.
Flashing to the present, we are in 2021. We are in a pandemic still. We were talking a little bit off mic before about how you guys did play last year. You did have a little bit of a crowd, a cap at 1,500. Hopefully we're going to get here, to by the end of the AAA season where you guys can have a full park again. But how are you guys looking at being creative and keeping that bozo side, but also having to work within those parameters of limits on attendance and, working in pods and all that kind of stuff that, the restrictions that 2021 brings?
Yeah, I don't think it changes the overall promotional nights that we do that we can have fun with. You do it in front of a smaller crowd, on most nights. I don't believe that by the end of the season we'll be playing in front of a full capacity ballpark. I don't see that happening. That's me. I'm I'm not a doctor. I have no medical background, no nothing. But I just don't honestly believe. I think most parks, if you can get to 50%, I think they'd all sign up for that right now. I think we're 2022 before we play in front of a full ballpark. But again, I come from the Florida State League where, you know, when Fort Myers, we were the third best drawing team. And I think we drew like 1600 people, right? That was the third best drawing. So it shouldn't matter if it's one people or, you know, over 8,000, like we draw in a normal year. Your goal is to make it seem like it's opening night every single night and that people are coming. Every single person in the ballpark's coming for the very first time and you're trying to make a mark on them. Because if you're not doing that, you're doing your fan base a disservice. And so you've got to go all out. It might be hard, right, to create that energy. Like everybody feeds off the energy when you're playing in front of 8,000 plus people. Promotions feeds off of it. The broadcast feeds off of it. The players feed off of it. You have to contrive your own emotion and get that from whatever it is, 1,500 people, 2,000, 2,500, whatever it is. You got to dig deep and you have to, you know, present the best entertainment possible for those people. And then they're going to go out and tell people. And then when ballparks do open up full capacity, we're going to reap the benefits from it. Right.
Sean, a few more for you and we'll get you out of here. Yeah. I got to ask you, as a broadcaster and a guy who's spent time in affiliated ball in the past and all this time through indie ball. Now, all of a sudden you're a AAA broadcaster who gets to work at the top level of the minors. And that's gotta be so cool to now know, you know, it's obviously the news today with Royce Lewis is tough, but the fact that you've got talent like that, that's going to be coming through, you'll get to go to all these other destinations across AAA and see all of that talent. How cool is this for you in a personal sense to now be on this platform in this location to know that, you know, your listenership now grows widely in size because people are going to know, oh, these are guys that I'm going to be seeing at Target Field real soon. I can flip on this station, hear them over in St. Paul. How cool is that for you as a broadcaster?
Look, all of us broadcasters have egos. If you think I had an ego before, could you imagine what it's going to be like now as a AAA?
You know, with Tyler every week, who is a broadcaster. Like I know fully well about
egos. Oh, thanks, Sam.
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about your issue. It's true, right?
You're not a broadcaster if you don't have some sort of an ego, whether big, small, or in between. You know, I've joked that I've been a broadcaster for 20 years. All it took for me to get to AAA was, you know, waiting 20 years and for someone else to pay my way to get there. So, you know, that's all it takes. And I appreciate everyone coming to my TED talk because that's exactly what it will be. You know, it's one of those things that when I was in Fort Myers and I thoroughly enjoyed my time, I don't think I appreciated it for what it was, right? I had spent 2 years in an independent league before that with a god-awful team that's no longer in existence in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And then I went to Fort Myers and it was different and it was better, but I don't think I quite understood what it really was. I'm much older. I'm much wiser. I get around a lot slower now. I fully understand and appreciate what this means. And I understand the work that needs to go into making the broadcast the best it can be, because you're right. There are going to be more eyes and ears on our broadcast now. And you got to come to the table prepared. You cannot mail it in. You can't just, you know, throw an inning aside. You can't do that. Because my goal is the same as everybody else's, right? It's the same as these AAA guys. You want to get to the big leagues. And with more eyes and ears on me, there's no better, you know, demo than people tuning in and listening to you live. And if you're going to mail it in, you may blow your chance.
What are you going to miss about indie ball? I know the realm of independent ball is so different. You know, people talk about the road trips and the money and the food and all of that and affiliated ball. And indie ball, it's a whole different game. What stands out about maybe the stuff that you won't miss immediately, because I would imagine it'll probably be a little bit nicer setup going forward. But when you look back 10 years from now on your time with the independent version of the Saints, what are the things that are going to stand out?
Yeah, despite being born and raised in Southern California, I'm not snooty. So I didn't, the ballparks and the hotels didn't bother me if they were, you know, below five star. So it's okay. To be honest with you, the one thing that I'm going to miss the most, and if there were 100 things that were a part of this partnership, there were 99 positives and one negative. I spent the last 14 years with the same manager, George Samus. He was our manager for 18 years and was with me for, I knew that guy inside and out. I knew exactly how he liked his stat packs. I knew when he would show up to the ballpark. I played therapist for the guy on the bus, and I didn't have to say anything. He just would talk and vent, and, you know, and you just sat there and you listened to the guy. But at the same time, he would ask me about lineup choices. Not that he ever took my 2 cents, but he would bounce ideas off of me.
Yeah.
God love Toby Gardenhire, and he seems like a great guy. Toby Gardenhire never is coming to me to ask me for lineup advice for the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, right? He's never coming to do that.
One time when I was in the Carolina League, we had a manager, Rocket Wheeler. We were in the middle of a horrible slump. It was a slump filled season. And I will say, he walked in one day, threw the lineup card at me and went, "You want to write it out today?" So it's possible you may get it someday.
So I got to wait for like a 15. I have to wait for a 15 game losing streak,
yes,
is what
exactly.
You're telling me. Yeah.
And you're going
to
be just
obviously
there
became
to be
a
miserable.
16 game losing
That's
streak.
That's right.
Yeah. Tyler chose the lineup.
Yeah. No, but I'll miss those things. Like there was an exhibition game where George had to fly back for his daughter's graduation. And there's something I had always wanted to do that I knew I would never get a chance to do, and that was manage a game. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, I know you won't be here. Do you mind? I'd love to manage a game." He did not hesitate. He looked at me and he said, "For sure." And it was the greatest, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. Because you're never in the dugout, right? You don't know what that's about. And so it just, like, I'll miss that. I'll miss that relationship. Our hitting coach and our pitching coach, Ole Sheldon and Kerry Leitenberg, former major leaguer with the Atlanta Braves. Like after batting practice was over, I'd go into the coach's room and just to chat with those two guys, not even about baseball, right? I got stock tips from Ole, who's an econ teacher. Lighty and I would talk about everything under the sun. One of the smartest guys I've ever been around. Like, I'll miss that. Those relationships, right? The players were great, but you know the players are going to come and go. Yeah. The manager who's around for 14 years and the coaches who were there for, you know, 7 to 9 years and both who played for the St. Paul Saints. Like, that's what I'll miss because I know what affiliated ball. Toby's not going to be our manager for 14 years, right? That's not his goal. The coaching staff's not going to be around for that long. That when I was in Fort Myers, I had 3 managers in 4 years. Like, I understand what I'm getting myself into with that. So that's what I'll miss, to be very honest.
Okay, I've only got one more real question, and then Sam's got his last one. But now I have to ask, did you win the game that you managed?
Yeah. So
yes.
I mean, I could tell the story and say we won 13-1, which we did. I think we shut them out, but there's the caveat, and I'll be honest. I'll be very honest. Every year we play a barnstorming game. Barnstorming was big in the Midwest where teams went around to different cities and play. So every year the Saints played a town ball all-star team. So these are guys that, you know, maybe one or two guys were actually in affiliated ball, but most guys faded out after college. And in my time, we won every town ball game except for one where we actually tied. But so it pretty much was a given we were going to win that game.
Hey, a win's a win.
But I told our third base coach, which was our hitting coach, Ole Sheldon, I said, "I don't care what the score is. You keep waving those guys around. This is my one shot. We're not holding guys up just because we want to make the other team feel better. So you wave them around until the last out is recorded. I don't care."
Somebody has to coach the Globetrotters, you know?
Exactly. I was just going to say, when I brought you on and said longtime legend, I did not realize, like, literally the greatest winning percentage in the history of professional baseball managerial careers, Sean Aronson. Yeah, I had no idea.
I knew when to hang him up. And when you're undefeated, that's when you walk away. And I really hope they retire my number someday.
Sean, the ballpark looks amazing. And I remember when the ballpark opened, there was a lot of conversation about, like, this place. I mean, are they angling for affiliated ball there someday? Because this is going to be nicer than any ballpark in affiliated ball. And it just looks, every picture that I've ever seen, every video, every highlight, you know, the shots, the promotional shots that that Ben got for his story with the skyline in the background, it looks amazing. Tell us about CHS Field.
It is amazing. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Look, we wanted to be a part of the neighborhood. We didn't want to be the neighborhood. And I don't know if that makes sense to most people, but look, you can easily build a ballpark in a neighborhood and it just overtakes everything. And I think Derek mentioned this in the article that you guys have been talking about. you don't know you're in a ballpark until you're right up to the gates. You're driving 2-3 blocks away and you don't realize a ballpark is there. I think that the architecture firm, the design firm that created this, did an incredible job of incorporating the neighborhood into the ballpark. Matter of fact, there are lower town artist lofts that are just across the street. If you go into those lofts and flipped the lofts inside out, that's what the beginning part of our ballpark looks like. They took the wood soffit, they took the black poles, and they utilized that into the ballpark. And it's very interesting, and most people will never, ever, ever know this, but it starts that way, basically on the right field side when you walk in. And as you go out towards the outfield and dead center, it becomes more lush and more green to incorporate, there's a nature preserve out beyond our ballpark. So it incorporates the lower town area on one side and the nature preserve in the other by the way the ballpark was built. It really is. It's fantastic job that they've done. But, you know, again, it's most people when they get there, we draw over 8,000 for a ballpark that seats 7,210. Half of them are sitting in their seats. I mean, most people, it is a place to congregate. It is a place to go. It is a place to hang out. I realize those thoughts scare a lot of people right now, but at some point, right? But that's what it is. It's never been a place where people went to quote unquote watch baseball. Now that's going to change a little bit again with the cross section of fans, but it is. It's the place to be seen is really what it's turned into be.
Sean, we'll end on these two. You guys are now entering the AAA East, which is one of the biggest minor leagues I think we've ever seen, 20 teams.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little different in 2021. Travel is going to be very regionalized as much as it can be in AAA. But you guys are the new guys in town no matter what. There's a couple other teams involved, Omaha's coming over, Iowa, what have you. But when you guys look at like who your rival is going to be, have you guys decided that yet? Like, how is that just going to look?
You circled anybody in red on the schedule? Like, we're going
to beat them. Yeah.
As far as a rival goes, well, the two rival, I mean, Iowa is going to be the one, right? They're the closest.
Yeah, take that out.
That's right.
Going,
you know,
radio
that,
guy.
That they've, you know, they've got the Cubs name, and the Cubs are pretty big nationally. So I mean, I think you'll circle that. Omaha being the second closest team to us, I think those two. Because we're not going to most of these places this year, I haven't really scanned the entire league and said, I can't wait to go there because I hear it's a great city. The two places that I want to go to, I've only been to Nashville once, but I enjoyed it there. I am neither a drinker or a country music fan, and I enjoyed Nashville. So that tells you all you need to know about Nashville. Although, you know what I really want, and it does not exist? I want a Smashville shirt that is not related to the Predators. I just want a shirt that says Smashville.
Oh, there you go.
Interesting.
But they don't sell them. Again, being from Los Angeles, I'm a huge Kings fan. I refuse to wear anybody else's gear, right? So I just won't do it.
It's like the Predators.
And the other place I'm looking forward to, The other place I'm looking forward to going, believe it or not, is Lehigh Valley. Again, I got my start in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is Lehigh Valley. I promise you that area has not seen anybody that's actually worked for that organization in baseball anywhere else. And to be able to go there, we played in one of the worst ballparks I've ever been a part of. It was called Arena Baseball because there was a netting over the left field wall, much like in arena football, and you could play the ball off the netting. It was exactly like it was just. So I'm looking forward to going back there just because that's where it basically all began for me. And I've heard their ballpark is beautiful. And again, it won't happen this year. Hopefully in 2022, you're traveling everywhere. My big worry, and this, to be very honest with you, this is my big worry this year, because you hear a lot of rumors, is that no broadcasters are traveling this year. That is part of the rumors I've heard. And again, it's hard to argue when the MLB guys aren't traveling and then you're like, well, the minor league guys can travel. So that's sort of disappointing if that's actually the case. And if it is the case, I'm hoping it's only for like the first couple of months and then it's, but nobody really knows. So I'm putting this into the ethos out there. If anybody who's with MLB is listening to this, please let us travel. Please. I'm begging you, let us travel. Right.
Well, we'll put it this way, whether you're at CHS Field or at another park, like wherever you are, when you get that first call, like your first game as an affiliate it's a 2021 season. Have you already envisioned what that's going to be? Like, thought it out? Or you, somebody's writes it down, or what is that moment going to be?
No, I don't script anything. Not at all. I've never scripted anything. I will never script anything. Our first game is a home game. So, you know, we open up at CHS Field. So the first game in Saints history will be a home game. You know, I'm honestly, I'm probably not going to make too much of it, right? It's you can't treat it any differently than you do any other game. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to allude to the transition from independent ball to affiliated ball. At some point, you know, you bring that up in a broadcast. But I mean, our pregame show on TV. So every game for us is televised, every game. And I don't do the pregame show on radio. I let a broadcast assistant handle that. But our pregame show on TV is 2.5 minutes long. I mean, we go on at 7 o'clock, game time 7:05 type of thing. So there's not a lot of time to, you know, paint this beautiful picture. So honestly, I'm not going to treat it any differently because again, it's baseball. People are excited. You know, again, more people are going to be tuned in and watching, but you can't let the moment overwhelm you. And it's based, I'm not going to dumb it down either. You know, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but I'm not going to make it this grandiose moment, like it's game 7 of the World Series. Although I would love to call game 7 of the World Series someday. So you can make that happen.
Never know. You might be doing it across town sometime.
I'm going to make a prediction. Can I make a prediction on your show?
And
you can go back to this when all this is said and done. Write it down. You can call me out if I'm wrong on this, but I'm going out on a limb this year, because of the affiliation with the St. Paul Saints, the Minnesota Twins will win at least one playoff game this year.
Okay. Okay.
And as the Saints, I will do nothing but take all the credit in the world for it. So
I really wanted to know how big this was going to get. And I know the Twins' recent history, like one playoff win is.
I'm just saying, right? Like everybody says, well, it's got to end sometime, right? And they've lost, what is it, 18 in a row, I think it is.
Yeah, I believe it is the longest losing streak in American professional
sports. Yeah, North American. But I'm just saying, every year, everybody says, well, it's got to end this year, and it's never ended. I'm saying this year, not the next time they get into the playoffs. I'm saying they get into the playoffs this year.
2021.
2021, the playoff drought ends this year. I'm not saying they're winning a series or anything like that, although I hope they do, but they will win at least one game. And I, as the St. Paul Saints, because I do run our Twitter account as well, will take all the credit in the world for this.
All you.
And overshadow the fact the Twins won a playoff game and keep all the praise on the St. Paul Saints.
Just the morning after that win, it's just at Twins, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all you got
to
do.
And the Twins that day will ask to end the affiliation with the St. Paul Saints at that point.
It was a brief, beautiful marriage.
That's right. I will single-handedly make it crumble to the ground.
Ruin and this for everyone.
That's right, for sure.
Well, you heard it all here first. John Harrison, who's the Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations for the new AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, the St. Paul Saints. Sean, congrats on the move and being able to handle everything to this point. It's going to be an insane next 6 weeks, I'm sure. But best of luck and enjoy every minute of it, man. We'll be following along.
Tyler, Sam, thank you very much. And I hope this has now opened the door for more broadcasters to get some airtime with you guys. If not, I have no problem having a weekly segment with you guys.
You have joined a very elite group, and we might just bring you on. Next, we're going to have to bring on Alex Cohen, the radio voice of the Iowa Cubs.
That's right.
Because you've called out the iCubs. So now we're just manufacturing the rivalries on the show.
Yeah, there's already been jokes about fastballs being thrown at each other in the press box. I said my off-speed changeup is all I've got. So 30, 40 miles an hour, maybe.
Hey, it works. If it leaves any kind of bruise, it works. Sean, thanks, man. This is great.
Thank you, guys.
Final segment of this week's episode of the show before the show. But before we get out of here, we're going to roll out the first of six editions of this segment called Better Know an Affiliate Structure. We're going to take the old Colbert Report segment naming theme. The new partnerships across Major League and Minor League Baseball, we broke down on MILB.com when they were announced on February 12th. But if you didn't have a chance to read them. The world is busy. We're going to go through each team division by division. We're going to start this thing off with a division near and dear to my heart, the National League West, home to the Arizona Diamondbacks, Colorado Rockies, Los Angeles Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, and the San Francisco Giants. And Sam, how should we do this? We want to alternate teams and run down the list.
Let's alternate. I'll start with Arizona, okay. So that way you can get the second team and we'll go back.
Yeah.
All right, so starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks, we got the Reno Aces as the AAA affiliate, the Amarillo Sod Poodles joining the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. They will be AA. High A will be the Hillsboro Hops, and then Low A will be the Visalia Rawhide. Rawhide used to be the Class A Advanced affiliate. They get bumped down. That's going to kind of be a theme as we go through here. One thing to know about this is that all the AAA teams in this group are part of the AAA West, I believe. Yeah, they are. And all the low A teams are part of what used to be the California League. There is a little bit of shuffle here, but a lot of these teams you will be fairly familiar with. So, Tyler, you take away.
And Hillsboro, formerly a short season team in the Northwest League, now moving up High A. Colorado Rockies, top two affiliates do not change. The Albuquerque Isotopes at AAA and the Hartford Yard Goats at AA, one of the most far-flung minor league alignments in baseball. A new High A affiliate for the Rockies, the Spokane Indians, formerly members of the Northwest League, like the Hillsboro Hops. And the Low A affiliate, formerly in the AAA Pacific Coast League, is the Fresno Grizzlies, who were kind of one of the last dominoes to fall in place for the affiliate shuffle. But Fresno now is Colorado's Low A team.
Moving on to the Los Angeles Dodgers, a lot of similar feelings here. Again, the Low A and High A team have flipped, but Oklahoma City sticking around as the AAA affiliate. Tulsa Drillers sticking around at Double A. Great Lakes Loons are now the High A affiliate, and the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes at Low A. One thing I like that this story points out is it might be one of the most spread out farm systems in baseball, kind of compared to the Colorado Rockies. You're going from the Dodgers in LA all the way over to Oklahoma City, all the way down to Tulsa, all the way up to Great Lakes, and then back all the way to the West Coast in Rancho Cucamonga. But there is some consistency here, and these are all teams that know the Dodger system, know it well. So it is kind of nice to see that the four affiliates are sticking with their parent club here. Now, obviously, the Dodgers have had a lot of success in this pipeline, so why change a bad thing?
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting, we heard so much about how geographical structure was a large element in realignment among major league and minor league partnerships. And the National League West doesn't really reflect that quite as well as some of the other divisions because, you know, once you get past really the Mississippi, there's sort of a dearth of minor league teams in the Midwest and especially in the Rocky Mountain region that now really doesn't have anything outside of Albuquerque. So it's interesting in the National League West to see how these stack up. San Diego, somewhat similarly with the Dodgers, three teams pretty much out west, quote unquote, and then one in the Midwest, a former Midwest League team like Great Lakes. But San Diego from the top down goes AAA El Paso, a team that has been the Padres AAA affiliate for quite some time. Then AA San Antonio, which was formerly a AA team, formerly a Padres affiliate, then it moved up to AAA, was affiliated with the Brewers, now back in AA and in the San Diego organization. Class A Fort Wayne, now a High A team, formerly in the Midwest League. That's the High A squad for San Diego. And then Lake Elsinore, the Storm, formerly the High A affiliate for the Padres, now Low A, a former member of the California League.
And we'll round this out with the San Francisco Giants. Extremely
disparate geographic organization, the Giants.
Well, I was going to say, there's actually a really...
Really just one of them, I guess.
...feel here, yeah. So you start out with the Sacramento Rivercats at AAA, sticking around in the Giants system. Only 84 miles between Sacramento and Oracle Park. That's exactly what this whole restructure was about, was making sure that clubs like that are close by. And then the AA team is all the way over in Richmond with the Flying Squirrels. They stay around at AA, 2,865 miles to Oracle Park. So a big stretch there. High A will be the Eugene Emeralds. That's new, that Eugene is jumping up a couple levels there to move to High A. And then San Jose gets bumped down to Low A, San Jose being only 52 miles to the park. So you have 84 miles, 52 miles, 527, and 2,865. If you're riding that AAA, AA Express, it's you're going to rack up some miles there for sure. But otherwise, I think it is very beneficial to have Sacramento paired up with San Francisco here. That's going to make things so much easier. And then to have San Jose right nearby, I think is going to be a boon for them. I mean, how could it be anybody else but the San Jose Giants pairing up with the San Francisco Giants? It'd
be very awkward if they were the Giants and they were trying to hang out with somebody else. San Jose.
Has that happened before? Well, the Spokane Indians.
Yeah, true. Although their team name goes back so far. I think Spokane even claims, I may have this wrong, but claims to predate Cleveland in its name, possibly. I may have that wrong. But was
it's also a very different relationship. We should
point right, that exactly. And that's something that I think is important to point out. Rockies fans, I think, have been at times have thought, oh man, they had, you know, took on a team with a native moniker. Do some reading about the Spokane Indians franchise and its relationship with the Spokane Indian tribe. It is fascinating. It is the way those partnerships should go if they are going to exist. Spokane Indians are an incredibly well-run organization. It's going to be really cool to see them in full season ball. And their relationship with the local tribes is really fascinating as well. Tribal artists who have contributed to their logos and their uniforms. And they have Salish, the written language for the Spokane tribe, Salish signage around the ballpark and some really good ties. There's a New York Times story from a couple years ago that was very well done about that. Benjamin Hill has written some brilliant stuff on that relationship. So that's something to take into account too. But those are the now 20 minor league teams under the umbrella of the National League West. Next week, we'll move into the National League Central, or I don't know, maybe we'll do the American League West. Sam picks these things.
We'll do the National League Central. How about
okay.
That?
We'll go senior circuit first. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Yeah. That's a very like 1890s joke. The senior circuit, man, they get first dues. All right. Obviously tired and delirious. He's Sam Dykstra. I'm Tyler Maughan. We'll talk to you next week.